And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Don't burp in the boardroom. And when Junior comes home from college... These intriguing titles are penned by my guest on Feature Story of the Week this week, Rosalinda Russell, who's going to talk about etiquette. She is a nationally recognized expert on etiquette. And so take it away, Rosalinda. Welcome.
Thank you so much for being here. And how I met you was attending a function here in Half Moon Bay. That's how I heard about the radio station.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're a community resource.
Yes,
And we bring in fascinating guests such as yourself. Intrigues me. How does one become an expert in etiquette? I know you're nationally recognized and you've been on media all across the state and beyond. But how does one get into this?
Well, there are different ways. My story is that when I was about 18 years old, I wasn't allowed to date until 18. And then one of the first dates was a gentleman who took me to Beverly Hills because I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. And a finger bowl was presented in front of me and I had no idea what it was. Our family background, going out to Sizzler was like a big expense. So, you know, we were very respectful, but we didn't know, you know, the multitude of forks and things that go along with that. So that sparked my interest in learning about these. And then as the years went on, I found a school in Washington, D.C. and got certified and trained. And it really requires constant reading on trends, workplace, societal, because we have evolved. When I started 25 years ago, there were no cell phones. It wasn't common. So now, you know, we have that.
Oh,
and
yes,
there
yes.
are more, you know, different styles of relationships and our pronouns. So as society evolves, you know, the rules of etiquette really are created by society. What the majority of us find acceptable and non-acceptable. It isn't like a bunch of old ladies with lace bonnets writing all these rules for society.
So you must have seen a quantum shift in the last years.
Most definitely.
Why don't we start with my pet peeve, restaurants? I see a declining manners in the way people order food, work with the wait staff. I cringe if I go out to lunch or dinner with somebody and they say, give me or I'll have. What happened to please and thank you?
You know, that is funny. Just stopping on the please and thank you. I was doing a presentation for a group of business people and we were talking about the basics. And this one gentleman raised his hand and he said, I don't say please and thank you. And I was very curious and said, why? And he said, I find that it puts me in a place of humility, humbleness, and vulnerability, and shows lack of confidence, so I don't use please and thank you. And that was the strangest and most interesting reason for not using please and thank you. But really, it just starts and it stops with the please and thank you. And in restaurants, I believe it's getting a little bit worse. Also, we don't want to continue to blame COVID, but, you know, there is an element of that. People got used to or unused to ordering things. And now with the apps, especially the younger people, they order in advance. The lack of communication and how you ask is really not necessary when you're using technology. You walk in, you pick up your order. You don't even have to say good morning or thank you. And you just, because it's on a counter and you walk out.
Oh, that's fascinating. I hadn't thought of that. As an extension of that, do you think our modes of communication, such as email and texting, has driven this also?
Definitely. I always say we have so many more methods of communication, but we're so bad at it. You know, I believe that we want to communicate quickly and want what we want and want the answer and want the answer we want, and we want it now. In the old days, you know, people would have the unwritten rule for responding to someone, especially in a business setting, was 24 to 48 hours. Now people want you to respond immediately. And because we have our phones accessible to us 24 hours a day, I can see why people are a little bit less patient in doing so. But also in that responding, even email, but especially text, there are so many more misunderstandings because I might be very brief and somebody might read that as, you know, insensitive or I didn't respond as they were expecting, and our expectations are as well, and different generations as well. So I always say, if it's something lengthy, if it's something of high importance or confidential, it's better to do a phone call or face-to-face, but at least an email. Preferable.
I couldn't agree more. I'm old school in this regard. I will take phone over anything else, but it's disappearing. You just can't seem to find places to contact people by phone anymore.
No, and actually, I just read, as I said, I have to keep up with current trends in companies. Many companies are training their staff, the younger people, because they have anxiety to answer a telephone call. And if you're in customer service, you know, you're the first line that a person will get the vibe, to you, lack of a better word, and they don't want to answer the phone. One company went as far as changing their phone system so it's an AI that answers the phone, finds out, you know, as much as they can, and then finally give it to the person so that, you know, they're a little more comfortable.
How impersonal is that?
I agree.
But the thing is, you can't get nuances through email or through text. And that's what really troubles me. You can hear in the timbre of the voice or in how people respond to you. As you say, you know, it can appear to be rude if you're short, but may not necessarily be so. So, I don't know.
Well, that's why we use emojis, to say, yay, I'm happy, or to soften something that we say. You know, if we want to say something, a lot of times we'll add that, oh, little smiley emoji to soften what we're really saying. But yeah, we miss the social cues, and that's another thing that people don't know how to pick up on. You know, social cues, looking at someone's face, like you said, their expression, their eye contact, or, you know, am I leaning back? Am I nodding a lot? That means I'm no longer interested. And we used to be able to pick up on those things and, you know, proceed accordingly by ending the conversation or continuing. And we don't have that anymore.
Oh, so is there a particular area that troubles you? I've vented my pet peeve. That's restaurants. What about yourself?
It's mostly people who, and I guess this is a personal thing, and I don't know if it's a generation, it's an upbringing, it's the mixture of cultures that we have, that people feel bothered by having anyone else around them. You know, whether it's at the market, if they're going down the aisle, it's just one of those things. If you even say, excuse me, politely, it's like they're bothered that you made them move over. And that's one thing that I notice more everywhere. People are just unaware or very focused on just what they need to do. And then I guess my other pet peeve is feeling that we have to address everything we see, especially on social media. Mm. You know, I see something that I don't like, that I maybe even disagree with completely. I don't need to let them know that. I don't need to put my opinion on there and start something. And what I believe in and how I live my life really is asking myself, what is my point in responding and how will it help? And if I can't answer those with a positive resolution, or then I don't do it. And I just feel I choose to overlook a lot of things, because I can get in a very volatile, discussion with people all over the place, rude people. You know, of course I want to say things to them, but I don't, because there's no point. There's no point.
So through research and tried and true methods, you've come up with these techniques, really.
For myself.
For yourself. And that's what you'd advocate for others, is to kind of learn communication skills, but relearn them.
Yes, relearn them. And just ask yourself, what is my point? How will it help? And what do I expect to be resolved? And that's where I think a lot of us get into trouble, especially on social media. We're expecting to convince someone to change their mind. And that's another thing. When you enter a conversation that you, especially now in this political season, do you enter it to challenge them, to change their mind, or to impose? If you're entering with any of those three in mind, it's not going to go anywhere. I don't like my mind changed unless you give me facts. That's what communication is. Tell me some things, I will listen, and maybe I will change my mind. But when you're doing it as a challenge and imposing, most of us will shut down.
I mean, good point about the election period. I mean, we're seeing vitriolic comments from every which way. You've written these two books. They're fascinating titles. Don't Burp in the Boardroom. I love that title especially. What is this about?
Well, actually, it was inspired by, there was someone, a colleague that I was walking down the hall with, and he was taller than I am. And I looked up at that moment because we were talking as we were walking down the hallway, and I saw him do those big cheeked quiet burps where you try and hide the sound, but it came out, and it was right down on my face.
Oh, dear.
And it didn't smell very good, as most burps don't.
No.
So that's where that started. Like, even if you think you don't make the loud burping sound, it still comes out, and so be careful who you do it. So that's what really inspired the title of this book.
And your other book.
Oh, When Junior Comes Home for College. That was, you know, sort of during the time when my sons went away to college and all the changes that they go through. So it's, you know, half of it's for parents, half of it is for Junior on things to consider, because they will come back with a lot of different ideas, you know, that you raised them with.
It's a tough time to be a student, I think.
Oh, yes, in many ways.
The messaging. So where could somebody purchase these books or find them?
Oh, well, on Amazon, but the best place to go is my website. Everything, my Instagram, you know, everything is there.
Great. And your website is?
RosalindaRandall.com.
Okay, so it's RosalindaRandall, all one word?
Yes.
.com for these wonderful books. So I really appreciate you coming in. We need people like you. We all need to relearn communications. So thank you very much. This is John Williams for Feature Story of the Week.
Our thanks to John Williams for our Feature Story of the Week, the subject of which is etiquette. Now, if you are feeling brave, ask a young person what the word etiquette means, but don't be too disappointed at the blank look you may get back. The customary code of etiquette is getting to be a rare behavior in a contentious society. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson.